short people got. Work sucks, I know.
And you keep losing.
Welcome to Who's Hot and Who's Not, episode 6 on the Oh Hot More Not feed, using that same irreverent method as that show to look at what's left of Who's Who number one with a contingent of the Hot Squad. I'm Siskoid, and let's see who's around the table this time around. 5 of the girls. Our panelists will introduce themselves by revealing, this is going to make sense in the context of the entries we're going to cover, a tiny thing that they like one of life's small pleasures. For example, for me, stepping on iced up puddles. Like, is there anything more satisfying than cracking little ice? I wonder what Isabelle will say. What's a small pleasure for you?
The only thing I can think of just off the top of my head is that I like when I buy something that the price is a year. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like when it's like, oh, it'll be $18.75. I was like, that's a year. And that brings me joy.
Strange. Amélie, what about you?
The first thing that came to mind when you said little things is little things. I like miniatures. I get an endorphin rush from like looking at miniatures. I like a bunch of like Instagram pages that are like people making polymer clay pizzas and burgers and small fruits and fake foods. Like things that you find if you go to a store that's selling like refrigerators and you open the fridge and there's like a drink or
fake apple
fruit in there or cake. I don't know. I like fake food and small food. It just makes me happy. I don't know why.
Shotgun.
The first thing that came to mind is just, and it's probably because it's freezing right now while recording this, but driving with my window down in the summer next to a lawn that's freshly mowed. The Ugh. Scent of mowed grass. I love
hate that. I hate that
well,
smell.
Too bad for you.
More for Shotgun.
I'm on board, Shotgun. That's good.
Yeah, Mike, it's not like small things that Mike hates.
Okay? Like, not the thing. Your small pleasure is my pet peeve. That's weird. Jose, you're next.
The first thing that came to mind is actually something I did today. I don't have a dishwasher, so I need to use like bottle soap. And if you leave it for like a few seconds after you pour it and you press the air, it releases bubbles. And that is like the highlight of dishes. Is that like 30 seconds where there's just bubbles in the kitchen and I'm like, ah!
Fun.
Super on brand.
Fun.
Yeah.
And we also have DJ Nat with us.
Mine is incredibly specific and you probably won't even understand what I'm going to say.
But I love it already.
I'm going to try and explain as best I can. So in the spring and sometimes in the summer, but it's like usually early summer, when I'm walking outside, there's a specific smell that sometimes appears and it only lasts for like a couple seconds. And the best way I could describe it is basically like it's floral, but also like grass and also a little bit like blueberries. And I don't know what triggers this exactly because like it literally only lasts like one sniff and then I keep walking and it's gone. And that's always how it is. And I really wish I could just bottle that and wear it as a perfume because I love that smell, but Aww. It's just so fleeting. Like it, and I always try and be like, did you smell it? Other people.
But I think I know what that is.
Oh,
right? It's those big purple flowers.
Oh,
you know,
maybe.
Those big purple flowers?
Yeah.
That like in the trees.
You mean the lilacs?
Lilacs, there you go. There.
I don't think so, though. I don't think it's lilac because it's not exactly that.
It is very much not fleeting, and I hate that smell so much.
It's more subtle than that.
Yeah, because Nat would stop under the tree and like, okay, that's what it is.
I've never been able to identify what it is because I'm always in a different location. So it's not like, oh, it's clearly this specific like tree or whatever. No, it just happens. Sometimes I'm walking and it's like, oh, I just smell that. And I can't link it to anything in particular, but it smells like kind of flowers, kind of like fresh blueberries, but like far away. I don't know.
We need to go on a hunt for this smell this spring.
Next time I will try and tell you guys when it's happening, but I really love that smell and I wish I could bottle it. Every time I smell it, I'm like, oh, I wish I could have this as a perfume. I would wear it.
All right. Well, that is a precursor to some of the characters in here who happen to be small.
Yay.
Small, like the Adam, or the Golden Age Adam in this case. Standing at 5'1", Al Pratt was a 98-pound weakling in the 1940s when former boxing champ Joe Morgan offered to bulk him up as thanks for buying a down-on-his-luck vagrant like him dinner. Some extensive training later, Al was as strong and agile as any boxer, but he chose a different route, fighting crime as the Atom, a hero short in height but tall in power. In 1948, due to the effects of fighting a nuclear villain, he gained atomic strength and sported the look on the right. We got two looks here. The Mighty Mite is an energetic hero who likes to laugh and can always be counted on to do the right thing. The art by Rich Holberg and Romeo Tangal shows him without the mask, being encouraged by Joe Morgan, punching crooks, and stopping a locomotive with his atomic strength.
I have to say, you said that he agreed to train him as like a thank you for giving him one meal.
I guess he was on the street, you know?
Because that's like a commitment. Bulking somebody up like that, like it's not just like one day.
I think Joe Morgan went on to, like, Joe Morgan trained like at least three superheroes I know of.
Did he give him like a routine, or is it just like, okay, and now we're buddies and we're training together?
Yeah, that's
I don't know how that went.
Did he like pay regular meals?
Yeah, I don't understand that. It's nice. Don't get me wrong. It's really nice. It's just a bit strange to me.
I think Joe Morgan then, you know, got back on his feet.
Okay, yeah, and they became friends and stuff.
It was a gold-plated burger.
Wow. I feel very differently about both images. Mm-hmm. Like I really like the one on the right. I think it's cool. The one on the left, I don't like the brown about it. I don't like the mask, no pants. That's a weird choice.
Honestly, I thought it was like, on the right, it's like your origin, and on the left, it's like, oh, by the way, he turned evil at the end.
Yeah, that's like, what I was expecting you to say.
It looks,
in my mind, it was like,
it's the deep
V. I started in the end.
He looks like a villain in that one, the full mask. The mask is part of it, I think, just because it's kind of skull-like. Ooh. It's really shaped to his face, and I think that gives off. But even the rest of the outfit, like, if you just shown me this guy, I don't think I would have thought he was a hero. I had to guess.
The origin story being he went swimming and then someone stole his pants. So he had to hide his face.
No. It's funny you say that, because the Hero of the Beach, which was in all those Charles Atlas ads in the back of comics, which is that origin, DC Comics eventually had a character whose origin was exactly that.
Oh, really?
Wow.
It was kind of meta, but yeah.
Wow. So
what are his powers exactly? Like, I guess he's super strong or something. Is there something else?
Well, originally just buff. Buff, and people probably underestimated him.
Nothing
and
else.
Then, yeah, no. And then after he got zapped and, you know, got atomic power, yeah, he's just very strong.
I'm going to be honest. I would have thought it would have been like an Ant-Man situation based on the name.
Yes.
I'm actually kind of shocked that he doesn't shrink. I was so prepared for you to tell us. And now he's able to shrink down. That's one of the reasons why I asked again, because I was like, oh, maybe I missed something. I was so sure.
I had that same thought where it's like, oh, an Atom. It's small. That's his power. And then I was like, wait, what?
He was born small.
Yeah, he's just really, he's short.
That's, I guess we were all born small.
Yeah. We were all beans once.
We all used to be lima beans.
I just can't believe he's not called Adam.
Oh.
I feel like if he goes to Starbucks, no one's calling him the right name.
And I also can't believe that he's a professor of nuclear physics and he got his powers not from work.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. I think he became shocking. A professor later in life.
Oh, okay.
Post-powers?
When he was the Atom originally, he was like a student. So probably already studying physics, I guess.
Yeah, but you would think he would have fallen in a vat of physics and because,
you know, that acid he just has buckets of just on a shelf that's kind of wobbly,
rickety.
And then one day just falls on him and
that's powers. The origin of the Flash you're describing.
I don't and know. Again, we will bring back Pitman at some point. So, Amélie, when will you adapt the tagline short in height but tall in power?
Today.
I don't know. Maybe one day.
Because this is a hero who is your height.
Yeah, I was going to ask, right? Because I thought so. Or at least
Amélie's height, he's really like literally her height.
What is he?
5'1".
Ah, oh, he is my height.
Wow, I always forget how tall you are. I can never remember that. I'm always like, is it 5'2"? Like, I always think it's 5'2".
I'm always like, God, she's 5'5".
I feel like I said 5'2 for a while. It's because I'm 5'1 and a half and I just round it out, but it is completely a lie.
No one knows.
Well, now a bunch of people do.
Yeah.
He's got a good bulge going on, though.
Zoom in.
the bare-legged version really emphasizes the penis.
And the leg.
Yeah. There's, like, more bulge than usual. There really is, like, a curve there.
Well, he may be small, but he's packing.
One thing that's bothering me in the overprint is... you don't, and even in the main picture, you don't necessarily, it doesn't show his height that much. It could be any size. Even when he's next to him, is that guy also short? Or
yeah,
it doesn't feel to me like he's 5'1".
Being this bulky, he would look a lot shorter. If you have that much muscle with that much height, you would look a lot more.
Well, he still has that small frame.
But I agree that it doesn't feel that way looking at the images.
It doesn't look like it.
Like, he doesn't feel short at all.
He looks like he has long legs and normal sized torso.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel to me like he's really necessarily short. And I suppose that it would show next to someone else, but I don't think this entry does a good job of showing us that he's supposed to be shorter than usual.
The same height as everybody else, almost.
As a 5'1 person, I need to put in a lot of effort to look taller in a photo.
Well, what ask do you need?
Even his feet look big. Like, in
what
my
you
mind,
need is like nothing on your legs. A leotard, okay? This is what you need.
A deep need a cape. V?
So I need a bulge too? Because I don't know.
No, but you need a full mask over your head.
Yeah. It's all in the cape.
That actually would work, probably.
Because I keep registering the V, like he has like a medal around his neck.
Oh, I
me
thought
too.
It was a hoodie.
Oh, he's bare-chested? Oh, man, I hate when they have a mask and they're bare-chested.
It's just a very deep V.
It makes no sense.
You know that if the arms weren't in the way, that deep V would end up with an arrow pointing to the penis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How can you have a cape, a t-shirt, and a full face covering, and then just have like a triangle peekaboo on your chest? That's so strange. If it was all attached together, he would definitely accidentally put his head through the V all the time and be like, oh, dang it, and then pull it out.
And also, you would get a really weird tan in this outfit.
The second outfit, I'm not a big fan of the fact that it's not full length sleeves.
Oh, yeah.
You have the same sleeve length in both.
I do like that he has like the logo on his chest, though. That's nice.
I don't know if I like it where it lands. There's something strange about the way that it hits like the lines in his pecs.
Like it's not centered.
That would be low.
I think it's not the logo. I think it's the pecs that are a bit shortened. They're not long enough on the torso. I think that's the problem is that the proportion are a bit off.
I just think it's this obsession of having someone this muscled with a skin tight suit. Like, my theory is that boots and everything that's yellow is just painted on him, so there's no clothes. It's only little
pants,
briefs, and a cape.
He looks so severe
in the headshot. Again, he looks like a villain, like an angry villain.
Yeah, I don't like it.
He's sort of smiling and like,
I don't feel that's sad. The one with his friend is like, oh, another match. God, I want to die. Oh, that's a butt.
Oh, butt.
Nice.
Josie, what's your butt review? Butt review out of 10?
9.
That's generous.
Minus 1 point because I can't touch it.
We don't give those kinds of scaled scores. It's all or nothing. Is the Golden Age Adam hot or not?
Not.
I'm still going to say hot, but I'm not like excited. And not the full mass version. I don't like that at all. But the other version, I'm going to say hot, but like, it's like a meh hot.
And he just kind of looks like when he's just like a dude. He just looks like a guy. Like, he looks like he could be an accountant. Like, I don't know. Like,
a lawyer. I don't know,
there's something about his design when he's out of costume. He just looks like a dude. I don't know. He orders chicken at restaurants. I don't know. Like, he's just a guy.
I think there's just too much overall bothering me. So it's going to be a not, but it's not like a, oh God, not. It's just like, meh. Not
boring. Yeah. Short people got nobody to love. Short people are just the same
as you and I. It's a wonderful world. Let's look at the modern day Adam.
Oh, wow.
Physicist Ray Palmer found a way to use dwarf star matter to shrink things down to size, but they tended to explode. So the practical applications were out of reach. So it was a gamble to use his special lens on himself when he was trapped in a cave-in with a group of students. But he didn't explode, and he went on to save his class. He made a costume out of dwarf star matter that would appear only when he shrunk down, and he became the Atom, also going on to teach physics at Ivy University. He can shrink to any size, usually fighting bad guys at 6 inches, but able to go subatomic, where he can relax on the surface of an electron or use a phone call to ride his way to the other end. The classic Adam look is the one on the right, where he's holding a fountain pen. But his co-creator, Gil Kane, has also drawn him in this era of DC Comics, where he went to live with a tiny race of barbarian people in the Amazon. In a comic called Sword of the Atom. I think that's the princess he falls in love with there in the serpent on the left. On the right is Ray without the mask and his now ex-wife, Jean Loring, widely considered the worst romantic interest character in all of comics.
Whoa.
Yeah, their marriage broke apart after he caught her cheating on him.
Oh, my God.
Personality-wise, I think Ray Palmer is kind of the Reed Richards of the DC universe, a scientist who gets lost in his work sometimes. But one of his greatest qualities is compassion for others, even if he's grown more pessimistic over the years.
Can't blame him.
I have so many opinions.
I have questions. Why was he with a class of students?
Bad guys put him in a cave while other things were happening.
Where were they to be put in the cave? Like, what?
It's comics.
Field trip.
No, but like,
field trip gone wrong.
People with super strength, with radioactive things. Cool. I understand that. People in caves, like students randomly. What? That's where I draw the line.
That was just an excuse for him to have to use the shrinking power on himself.
Okay, fine.
It could have been anything.
Fine.
The boots remind me of a very Canadian experience. Your mother putting on wool socks onto you and then plastic bags before you put on your winter boots.
Yeah.
So that your feet don't get wet. That looks like this.
Yeah, it definitely give me PTSD of when I burnt my foot to the second degree. My bandages were too thick. I could not wear any of my shoes. So I just wearing a slipper plastic bag on top of it so I could walk with my cane. Nothing.
I would have crawled.
No. Cane or sword or fountain pen?
For me, it kind of triggers like when I was a kid, we used to have like these insoles that were like kind of felt, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
That you could put your boot on your foot and then you would put that in your boot. But if you like got it the wrong way, you kind of get stuck and it would twist in a strange, like it would bunch up when you were putting it in if you didn't do it correctly. So all the Canadian experiences over here.
I like the fountain pen.
That's fun because like we were saying just before, that it felt like he wasn't small at all. That's at least a detail that makes you feel like, oh yeah, he's tiny.
I just love the thought of having huge art supplies, like bigger than like, oh my God.
Actually, like art attack.
It would be really fun, like for like a cosplay or a Halloween costume or something like that. Like if you were like this guy or like Ant-Man or something to have like huge props.
I don't know about having like a loincloth over a full body suit. That's a little strange.
And it needs to fit in.
Top is ripped. It looks so stupid.
I don't know if any people out there have that experience. Because I've never had, like, brothers, but are there any comic dudes out there who collected action figures and that your sister would, like, steal them and then dress them up? It feels like someone, like, stole this and dressed it up in something else that it's not. Like, put a tutu on your Aquaman kind of vibe.
Like, lots of jewelry. And
yeah.
High heels.
Love it.
Glue some glitter on it.
Does that mean you prefer the classic look?
I think so. I like the hair though.
Yeah, I wish it was the bodysuit of the one with the fountain, but the hair and mask.
Agreed. It's the same bodysuit.
Yeah, but the long cloth.
There's accessories.
Yeah, and they're bad. And I don't want them.
You're insulting the tribe of the miniature people.
I love that idea.
We're canceling Josie.
Bye, friends.
When was this?
Sword of the Atom, mid-80s, around this time, actually.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I thought. I was like, this dude's giving me 80s vibes. So I was curious if that was the case.
There was an interest in fantasy comics, like we've seen throughout this issue, that Amethyst and Arrak, and we had Arion, and all of these guys had series of their own, fantasy series. So fantasy was popular, like the Atom wasn't anymore. So they tried to jam him into a different genre.
I want to see that one story where he's with those little people and then subconsciously forgets that he needs to stay small and just poof goes back to normal size and they all freak out.
Oh shit.
I've read Sword of the Atom. I mostly remember the Atom like riding birds and rats or whatever.
Oh.
You know, into battle.
That's delightful. It does kind of look like the version of the Atom that's holding the pen is stepping on the loincloth of the
Yeah.
And that's why the one is face planting. Yay.
He's like, what? He's pretty handsome. Yeah. I feel like he looks like someone. Does he look like someone?
I've been trying to place him too, but yes, a very attractive face.
And I love the color of the hair.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of like a dark red.
They
like,
say Auburn here, so you're
yeah,
right.
It's pretty.
They didn't call him Adam, but they did call him Ray. And I feel like that counts as a
This counts as a physics name.
When he's small, he's 6 pounds. He's tiny.
Oh.
Or weightless when he's subatomic.
Six. How tall is he like when he's like
6 feet?
Oh, okay. So he's not just not
normal.
Short.
Normal. Oh no.
Okay.
Okay.
A judgment.
Sorry,
there.
Other Adam.
Actually kind of sad. I wished he was also still short. I think that would have been nice.
What makes me sad is the fact that the love interest is so lame because she looks great. They both do, actually.
Was she bad beyond cheating on him? Like, was she like a terrible person generally, or was that like,
I mean, all of these heroes in the 60s had these similar, you know, like if I told you that's Lois Lane, you'd believe me probably, you know. It's like there was a lot of similar girlfriends for these heroes, so they tried to differentiate them a little bit, but they were all kind of pests because I think at the time they were aiming these comics at little boys. And for little boys, girls are annoying. So they made the girlfriends kind of annoying. Lois Lane was always trying to trick Superman into getting married or trying to uncover his secret identity. So she was a nuisance. So it's the same thing with Jean Loring. She was a nuisance, but the way they played her was mostly like she was very, her comments were mean-spirited, or she was a real...
She was a bitch. You can say it.
It's just in more modern comics, it just became a thing where you would laugh at that. I think writers of today took that to heart. Like they remembered her as the worst. So they eventually made her a supervillain and everything.
Oh, wow.
Is the modern day Atom hot or not?
I like him. Yeah.
I think this is an improvement.
I can't believe there's two Atoms.
There's actually like four or five or something.
But that's ridiculous.
Is it just a full Adam episode that we're doing?
No. There are only two. There are only two at the time of Who's Who, but there have been a couple of replacements over the years.
That would have been funny, though.
There's an Asian American one. There's a spy one who wears camo, and there's a female one. But that's all later.
Yeah, I think this one's hot. Definitely better than the first one. More in my alley.
Yeah, because the other one was nice. Like, he did buy a random dude that was down on his luck a meal, which is pretty nice. But this guy's pretty nice as well, right?
He looks cooler.
Yeah, I just find him far more interesting. The other one was quite boring, and this one I find has better powers, fits better with the name.
And he goes on adventures.
Yeah, and he rides rats, apparently. That's amazing.
All about that one.
Yeah, me too.
I would ride a bird.
Like, you know in Thumbelina when they ride the bird? That's my dream.
You ride the bumblebee.
The bumblebee is good as well. I'm also down. These bumblebees are very fuzzy and cute.
Yeah, can we watch Thumbelina
tonight?
It goes with the theme. It's all small things.
I love Thumbelina.
All the small things, true care, truth brings. I'll take one lift, your ride, best trip.
Blink-182.
Not an atom, but atomic. The Atomic Knight.
Oh, you just know backstory.
Well,
in the DC Universe's future, there's a period called the Great Disaster, when society has fallen and the world has gone post-apocalyptic. In this world, Gardner Grail and his Atomic Knights ride giant Dalmatians into battle to help their community survive against pirates and mutated creatures, as you can see in Murphy Anderson's Serpent. But you can see that they looked more like historical knights than the main picture. That's because it was later decided that Gardner Grail was actually a soldier forgotten in a sensory deprivation tank, living through a simulation that his subconscious took over and peopled with things that interested him, like tales of chivalry. He was eventually found and released with a limited ability to see the future, or at least to see impending disaster, using an armor that gives him super strength and the ability to project force fields and a laser gun. He tries to stop these disasters from occurring as the Atomic Knight. Personality wise, like the knights of old, he was dashing, courteous, resolute, courageous, etc. Whatever you think a knight is supposed to be, he was that.
I don't like it.
I love it.
I also like it.
Well, why does he have dicks next to his head?
I was about to say, the whole time Mike was talking, all I saw was two huge dicks.
Oh my god.
Next to his face. Those are huge dildos.
Is it really an outfit if you don't have two giant penises?
I've been doing it wrong.
What? By your face, specifically.
That's just wild. And also, look the at Dalmatian that is dog. Insane.
That's amazing.
Everything I love the dog.
It's amazing.
I really like retro future. That's one of my favorite aesthetics. So it just really triggers that bright, colorful future vibe for me. And I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I like the things on the legs that are sort of 60s future kind of vibe.
I like retro future, but the top part is just way too busy for me.
Yeah, they could have toned it down a little bit.
it's a jetpack, is it?
Like the light box on his chest.
I like that, though, because you get the colors, and that's really cute.
It reminds me of, the light box you had as a kid, where you have to put,
light bright
bulbs?
Light brights, thank you.
It reminds me of, shows from the 80s, where there's, technology. We watch Babes in Toyland over Christmas, Nat and I, and there's, machines with buttons that flash colors, and it kind of feels like that 80s vibe of, random flashy colors to do that kind of technology but for children kind of thing.
That's actually one of my favorite things about stuff from the past that wanted to pretend to be the future. It's just everything has so many buttons, and that's just not how the future has unfolded. No. We have gone away from buttons as much as
we don't have buttons possible. We have touchscreen,
but in old school stuff there's always so many buttons, and I find that really charming.
I don't understand the shield.
Is it supposed to be an atomic?
It feels like that. And that's a weird choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, mushroom cloud.
I really like waist down.
The only part on the legs is that the golden crotch is a bit of a strange touch.
Looks like a croissant.
It's on the face.
A crotch?
Croissant?
Yeah, they could have put it silver. I think it draws her attention there a bit too much, and it's just kind of weird.
It was worth anything for croissant.
Well, if there's anything we've learned through all of our episodes, is that they like to get our attention on the crotch.
That's weird, isn't it?
I think it is.
I don't understand that. Does anyone have an explanation for this? I'd love to know if like there was like a thing.
Is it like men like to have heroes that just have like big honking penises?
And arrows and
penis. It's relatable, Isabel, that's why.
Oh, yes.
Especially when you're like 9. Yeah.
I don't like his face, especially in the serpent. He just looks like a boring person. Yeah. There's nothing going on for him with his face.
He looks like a gym teacher.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the short hair.
He was a soldier, so the brush cut, yeah. But I was sorry to see him, like, I think this is like a generally cool costume, let's say, but I was sorry that they brought him into the modern day with this story about a sleep deprivation tank or whatever it was, because the stories in the future riding giant dogs is a much cooler concept.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. This whole, it was just a dream. Boop.
Yeah. Like, that's a horse.
Well, the atomic bomb fell and all the dogs became giants.
Horse.
Honestly, that's something I talk with my fiance Marty about all the time, that I would just love to have like a giant cat. You know, like you see those like Maine Coons that are like basically the size of a medium dog or even potentially a large dog. I would like a large cat, please. So this is pleasing to me.
And I talk about the opposite. I wish like my cats would still be like 5 pounds. Like they would be, you know, miniature dogs, like miniature kittens forever. So cute.
Is the Atomic Knight hot or not?
You know, I've looked back and I've seen the penis again and I just can't.
That's the thing. It's like, I find it's such an interesting concept, minus the it was a dream bullshit. But parts of the costume was really bothering me. But I love the idea behind it so much.
It makes me laugh that the word croissant in French also means getting bigger.
Increasing.
Yeah. It means increasing. That's kind of funny to me.
For me, it's going to depend how far in the future you can see. I don't like future shit. I don't like it when people can know stuff because I don't want to know it. Don't tell me, and I can tell in your face that it's going to be bad. So don't tell me. I don't like it.
Yeah, just today I was talking about how, like, as a kid, I read that eventually, you know, the sun would destroy the planet. It was like, oh yeah, but it's like in a billion years or whatever. And I was like, you know what? Okay, I can live with that. I won't be here. So I don't really want to know in the future that I will be in. I don't really want to know at this point.
How far can you see?
If I'm already dead, then that's just interesting.
To make things right, you and I must fight for our rights. You and I must fight to survive.
This is ridiculous.
No. There's some choices here.
The Atomic Skull is really my reverse namesake, Albert Michaels. He was stricken with a rare nervous disorder, which short-circuited the electrical impulses in his brain. He went bad and became the leader of a criminal organization called Skull. They attempted to cure him by implanting a neural pacemaker made of radium in his head. It malfunctioned, mutating his brain waves into a form of deadly energy he then used against Superman. It also gives him life-shortening seizures. So it's not great. The Atomic Skull was a jerk even before he became a supervillain, showing up in Superman comics like 2 years before they make him this. He's pretty psychotic afterwards. The art by Kurt Swan and Murphy Anderson shows him firing on Superman without the mask and some of his skull henchmen.
I just love the idea of him putting a picture of his own face on his chest.
Yes. But it's the skull.
It's a mask.
So he still has a face. By the way, if you can zoom in on his face, kind of looks like you, Mike, just a little bit.
I told you. He's my reverse namesake.
I know. Like, he has your reverse name, and frankly, you do kind of look similar.
Yeah. Same eyebrows.
Similar glasses. Like,
similar hair. It's very funny to me.
But he's blonde. I'm not blonde.
Have you considered becoming a villain?
Many times.
Bleaching your hair.
I wish I could pull off those boots.
You're so high.
I don't know if it's the lack of like bulging thigh muscles, but I find his thighs really hot. I don't like big muscles. I don't like when there's like veining and like distinct sections of muscle. This is really hot.
No, seriously, I'm looking. I could think that those are women's legs.
Yeah.
Like I said, reverse namesake.
I went shopping for shorts with Mike once. Confirmed.
Speaking of shorts, it is a bit weird that it looks like he's wearing shorts because of the way the boots are. I don't know if I like that.
I don't.
Maybe that's why it's reading feminine for you, Shotgun.
You don't see a man wearing such high boots.
Bottom image, they're lower boots.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's because they're not the boss. The boss wears the big boots.
He's got the big boots in town.
Who wears like the big boots in this relationship?
I like the belt. I like the boots. I like the colors. I think his face makes me want to imagine his voice like,
mah! Yes, it has a very Skeletor vibes. I can't get over the fact that he has a skull on his chest right underneath the skull mask. That's so funny.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It feels a little unnecessary.
A little?
Like, we get it. You're a skull man.
Are you sure you get it? Get it. He just wants to make sure.
It's kind of funny because his face looks very serious. Like, he looks like a very serious man. But his costume is just, like, just goofy enough.
Yeah.
It just seems very funny as a combo.
Like, the collar's just a bit too much. And the skull is just a bit silly.
Like, you would imagine that, like, the yellow part would be like black or something, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's like bright yellow.
And he's smiling.
And that's like a mask. So that's just always like that. So that's kind of charming, actually.
I want to know what kind of mask it is. It kind of feels like the bottom is kind of like Batman, where he paints around his eyes. Like he just paints the bottom half of his face in a skull.
So he's like really mad, but is just like smiling and jolly. I'm gonna kill you. Big smile.
He's like having this super intense speech in front of his henchmen and being like super judgmental of their bad results at killing superheroes, but he's smiling all along.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in some ways that's scarier.
I kind of like the fact that there's like a side effect to his power. Like he's a little bit like a bee, or like if he decides to sting, it has bad side effects on the bee. Oh, actually, a skull-faced person having a seizure would be scary.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of interesting to know that you can use it and it's going to work. Like it's going to shorten your own life as well. I do like that.
Atomic skull, hot or not?
I'm kind of in.
I kind of have to go hot,
too. Yeah, also hot. I think I'm going hot too, even though it's very silly.
It's a bit like my brain knows I shouldn't, but my heart's like, let it pass. It's fine. Good. It's cool. And I'm like, okay.
He would hate us all.
Oh, yes, God. Absolutely.
He wouldn't hang out with us.
That is insane. Anyway.
It's me. mean?
I mean, maybe eventually.
He's really terrible, isn't he?
Well, they redid the Atomic Skull later. A different guy became the Atomic Skull. Like, he had like a skull head, and he had a little more like Ghost Rider in that he was like had a motorcycle jacket or whatever. And he was a movie buff because his insanity made him think he was in movies. And so you would imagine all these movies around him sort of thing. So that guy, sure. This one? Okay.
Do you think this is going to be like another one where our fans will be like, what the fuck? Yeah,
I think this is the surprise verdict of the episode.
I like keeping our listeners on their toes.
I like throwing surprises.
I want those boots.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Yeah. Oron.
Atomic.
Not atomic. Oron. The son of an alien goddess called Shal, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, has almost godlike powers. He can fly across the galaxy, and though he doesn't want to, he acts as his mother's messenger of death, using his awesome powers to destroy her enemies. He can also heal people and is said to have other abilities we never see. When he felt his power growing, he feared he'd become dangerous, and he put himself in an energy dampener. But still, he would eventually unleash all his power to destroy the slavers and tyrants propped up by his evil brother, Complex Complex. He talks like a godling in a kind of pretentious cod Shakespearean way. He wants to be a beatific god, but there's something inside him that pulls him to destroy instead. He has to fight against it and redirect Sal's anger to less bloodthirsty ends. The art by Todd Smith and Rick Magyar shows him with his mother at some kind of event, destroying a ship, and just his glittering face.
Where's his penis?
He's a Ken doll, or like an Oscar statue. It's just smooth everywhere.
He's Fabio.
With that hair, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of volume in that hair.
I am incredibly jealous.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Although, if you're like sort of naked and you're flying around, your penis would be flopping around a lot.
That's not aerodynamic.
Love the image. I wish there were at least like a bump or something. I don't know.
There's a little bit of a bump for the butt.
It's a very sad bump.
You know, I think it's just weirdly drawn. That's a little bit my consensus, because the torso ends and the legs start, and it's all a little weird.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
He has no hips.
Yeah, his butt's way too high.
Alien.
that's the easy answer.
Sign that up with, he has powers that we don't know of.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just, not down. He sounds boring and
condescending.
I wouldn't want to hang out with a god. I feel he'd be like very, what's the word?
Condescending.
Yeah. Thank you.
He sounds like he has mommy issues. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I feel like he would spend more time maintaining that mane than I would take to like groom myself completely
and polish his chest and muscles, keep that shine.
He rubs that daily.
I'm a mortal. Like, I don't know if I want to spend half my time dealing with his existential angst of a god. Oh, you have impulses to be mean, but you don't want to. Oh, poor you, you're a god.
I have to go to work. I gotta buy groceries, dude.
I don't even think I would be able to pronounce his name correctly, so imagine.
You could say it in French, rather.
Oh, oh.
And just imagine it like Sauron. That's how I imagine it.
Sauron. I think it's the Latin root for gold, right?
Yeah.
He's called Goldie.
You know what? I think I'd prefer that.
Is the eyeliner on his actual skin, or does he paint it on every day?
That's part of the look of the gods.
Born like this.
Wow.
Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. Not a sponsor.
Eyeliner compensating for lack of bulge.
Not enough.
Yeah, put more. Metal face that.
Honestly, if you did like a line underneath his eye, it would almost be like you're getting into like Kiss territory.
Alice Cooper or something.
Yeah. Wait, kiss territory, so you would kiss him?
Nope. No.
Honestly, I find the two characters in the back more interesting.
Well, that's still him.
Is it?
Yeah, it's him with his mom.
Wearing clothes.
Oh, his mom is looking amazing.
Oh, yeah, look at that hair.
I like him better with clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't know it was him. For a second, I thought it was just performance. I don't know.
It's Beyoncé with someone else.
It does look like Beyoncé.
Yeah, it does.
She would wear something like that at a concert, and I would love it.
I love the people in the background, like the small crowd.
Having a great time.
The Beyoncé concert. Of course you're having a good time.
Yeah. Do you know how much they must have paid to be this close to the stage?
I don't think I could date someone that has hair this much better than me.
Man, as somebody who is engaged to somebody who has vastly superior hair than me, I can tell you, it's a bit depressing. Oh. Marty's nice, though. He always tells me if he could, he would just switch hair with me.
Not with a beard.
Marty has the best hair.
I agree that this would just be too much for me. I would be like, just make me a wig or some shit. Like, this doesn't seem fair.
Donate your hair, please.
That guy waxes. There's not a single hair on the rest of his body.
There's just maybe all there are hairless on his head.
You can't grow hair if you don't have pores. He's all gold. Doesn't have breakout. Bastard.
Is he like actually like golden? Like is he metallic?
Well, that's what he looks like.
That's the impression I had.
Here he really looks metallic. The comics that I've seen him in, it looked more like he had like golden skin. But there's like the early look or something. There was more clothes. So I don't know. My question is Auron hot or not?
No, I don't like it.
In theory, yes, but no.
Great hair, though. Great.
Bring us back to the skull guy. Yeah.
Surprise.
Well, in this case, this is not a surprise so much as a confirmation that even five people who have never read any of the comics immediately on site consider the Omega Men sucky.
So on this one, the crowds will agree with us.
I don't know about the crowds, but the general vibe here at Fire and Water Podcast Network is that the Omega Men suck. So
nice.
You somehow stumbled on the truth.
You're welcome.
It was actually a gut reaction for me. I was like, no. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm gonna think about it, and I'm not sure. And I was like, no.
Touched it too much. Ego member. He's got a golden hair. He's super bad. Ego member.
And that brings us to the cover.
Oh my God, I can't believe we're done.
Finally get to talk about the cover. George Perez, you'll see in contrast to John Byrne's running figures on Uhatmu, doesn't forget anyone, and he makes the characters interact.
Oh, I'm excited.
Oh. I kind of like this a lot more.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, it's my favorite three ghouls on the upper left. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I forgot.
Three names that sound badass when you say them all together.
Abnegazer, Wrath, and Ghast.
Yes!
I like the water effects on the water people. Yeah, people. It's cool.
What's his name again? The First Nation character?
Arak.
He looks awesome.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
That's badass.
His hair is in the wind and he looks amazing.
And he's next to ghouls and he's like, I'm not worried.
I really enjoy that Abel is reading to, what was his name?
Arcane.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of sweet.
But also, I think my favorite is Ambush Bug.
Yeah.
Ambush.
Oh, my God. Wonderful. I didn't notice. Man, Shotgun, you're like, Jesus.
That's really clever.
It makes sense that he's under the page because of the fourth wall. It's so cool.
My eyes attracted to, is it Amethyst?
Yes.
Really pretty.
Oh, yeah. Super cute.
Cool.
Oh, and there's Angle Guy behind her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Angle Guy.
Ooh, he's opening the portal, I guess.
Oh, and magic? Are they fighting? Oh,
you got Abracadabra. I'm translating here, but Abracadabra and Alicadabra.
Yeah. Right?
Abracadabra.
Yeah, which guy in the middle?
What's happening with the magic here? Why is it all connected? Like, are they like teaming up or?
They're fighting this atomic skull.
Well, Golden Blue looks like he might have a penis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, go on the bulge. Zoom in the bulge.
There's definitely more penis
here.
Oh,
yeah.
Also a cape. So he's more dressed up in this one.
Yeah, I like him better here.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, George Perez.
I wasn't there for the Aquaman episode and like, damn.
He's a good one.
I don't remember this 70s dude. Who's that guy? I have no idea who that
Arion, the Lord of Atlantis.
He's not Doctor Strange.
We're gonna talk about him during the female bag. It's that recent.
Oh God. I've retained nothing.
I have to say I do appreciate that Atomic Knight is just staring straight at us.
Atomic Knight, yeah.
Why is there a bird? Who's the bird?
It's to help Animal Man fly.
She's like a seagull chilling. I go, you got this, Animal Man.
Animal Man.
He absorbs the powers, right? He like mimics
the powers. Yeah.
I like this cover a lot more. They should talk to Marvel. It's just so dynamic and so fun and interesting. Everyone's like, there.
There's more personality too.
I can imagine that the person that drew this had fun doing it. It's not just a collage. They gave it a bit of life, a bit of their personal touch. Pretty fun.
The guy with the thunderbolt on his chest.
Airwave.
Is he getting like smacked in the face?
It feels that way.
No, he's just shocked because his son is a lightning bolt.
Oh.
See?
I mean, that would be shocking.
Yeah. Like, I did do the exact same face he has, so I guess accurate.
I've already said it because of the ghouls, but I really like that upper left corner. It just looks so cool.
It a little bit looks like an album cover.
Yeah. Yes!
And I think it's because, what's the guy that was in the prehistoric times?
Anthro.
He looks a little bit like he could be holding a guitar.
Yes.
He could be Mick Jagger.
the demons, everyone that's on the rock, it just feels such like a band picture.
The one with the mohawk is definitely the drummer.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we totally have lead singer, like guitar.
Bass and keyboard.
And drum.
Yeah. We're going to take just a small break. When we come back, we'll open that female bag.
The Power of the Atom podcast. While we'll cover all the atoms at various points whenever I feel like it, the main subject will be Ray Palmer because he's just the coolest.
Through the magic alchemy of nature's most awesome sources of energy, Ray Palmer, atomic physicist, becomes the Atom, a power-packed mighty might, whose brilliant mind and great strength serve law and order against crime and injustice. Tiny Titan, scourge of evildoers, the Atom.
Join me, Diablo Frank.
Podcast available on iTunes, Shout Engine, and the Internet Archive.
Female bag. Female bag.
Woo! Woo!
Comments on episode 5 of Who's Hot and Who's Not, which covered Arcane, Arion, Arkham Asylum, Atari Force, Atlantis, and special bonus entry Topo on Arcane. Chris Franklin says, I never noticed before, but the human version of Arcane has either really long arms or really short legs.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
So he was always misshapen, apparently.
That's so true. Like, if he put his arms down, he would be, like, to his knees.
I think it's short legs.
Weird. Hard to tell with the jacket. Because it's hard to like see where his waist is.
He's hiding something. Mm. Oh, James Hudson says, my first encounter with Arcane was in the form of Louis Jourdan and then Mark Lindsay Chapman in the movies. The comic book version was a bit of a shocker, really squicked out by his interaction with his family. Lizanne Oswald agrees he looked good in the movies and makes the point that since he wanted to steal Swamp Thing's body, the Unmen probably assumed that he wanted to look like that. Ergo, the fleshy Swamp Thing clone.
That's a good explanation for it.
Philby says, if Arcane wasn't awful enough, he was also a Nazi war criminal during World War II. Who experimented on prisoners. For my money, he's the most viscerally horrible villain in the entire DC universe.
Yeah, that's not a good point.
That's not a good point.
Like it's not making him sound better. It's making him sound so much worse.
Good point, Philby. Bad point.
Arcane.
Ange says he was scarred by the scene where it's revealed Arcane was sleeping with his niece in a possessed body, but says, I do love the later scene where when Arcane in hell wonders how many years he's been damned and he is told by Swamp Thing it's been less than a day. Gave some idea of how terrible perdition is.
It's like when you're like, oh, it must be Friday and it's like Tuesday morning.
It's like every week. Every week these days is like that, yeah. Next up was Arion. Aaron Bias said, I had a coworker who loved Arion. He pronounced it Arian. It always caused trouble when he'd ask for them at flea markets, comic shops, etc. No, we don't carry Arian comics. We do not sell Nazi propaganda.
Awkward.
Dr. Ange says he always seemed like a pretty boy to me. So surprised there was such a discussion around him being hot or not. Well, that's the point of the show.
Surprise today.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the comments on this one.
Chris Franklin on Arkham Asylum says, I believe Len Wein wrote the backstory of Arkham for this issue of Who's Who, and Grant Morrison ran with it and made it an utterly terrifying place of horror in his and Dave McKean's eponymous Arkham Asylum graphic novel. That's where the true horror of the place kicked in. Before, it was just your average mental hospital, although the horrific art by Bissett and Totalbin here is certainly showing the way. Warden Hill Terry agrees with Elise, who isn't here tonight. He says, I think that in the real world, Arkham wouldn't make sense. A building that not only doesn't meet any kind of building codes, but also has no kind of health or rehabilitation standards. It's a creepy, evil place. You go mad just looking at it. Ooh, then every Batman villain was put there. Also, like every other incarceration facility in the Gotham area, it apparently has a revolving door on every wall. Bat Riders, since about 1990, seem to think that all prisons are built like the ones in the 1930s Warner Brothers movies. Villains go in, villains come out. When was the last time any prisoner escaped from a prison in your state or province?
Actually, not that long ago.
It does happen like more than you would think for here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Dorchester is a minimum security.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like apartments. But when I was a kid or a teenager, it happened in my lifetime. Murderer Alan Legere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was serving time at the Arenas Penitentiary, transferred to the hospital here in Moncton for an ear infection, and he escaped. And this was in 1989. It took them 6 months to recapture him, during which time he killed four more people.
Yeah.
He became known as the Monster of the Miramichi. So almost a Batman villain. You know, he's got a code name. He's a mass murderer. It's more than the Dorchester thing.
Yeah.
Fucking scary.
Oof, yeah. Anyway, Terry says it would have been shut down in the 1980s from lack of federal funding, or completely remodeled in the 1990s to meet updated disability codes, or a new facility would have been built out in the industrial suburbs near an interstate highway. But it's comics. It's a fictional place, you know. Atari Force, Chris Franklin says, as a kid, I couldn't get past the idea of a corporate entity posing as a superhero team. What's next? Kraft Commandos, McDonald's Mafia. Lizanne Oswald thinks that if you renamed the team and went in and erased all the Atari logos, you could reprint these comics. Yeah, I wonder if could it be legal to do that. I don't know how much. I don't think Atari owns the characters, you know, only the logo and the name. So maybe if they change it, I don't know if there's a demand for that.
I'd buy that.
It would be worth it. Swine Bread, shortened to the point, says Atari Force was hot. That's all I needed to know. And Mike Dynas thinks Babe is likely to become the next Armadillo.
Aww, yeah. With Elise for sure, big hit.
And on Atlantis, Tim Price says, the talk about Atlantis and living under a dome reminded me of when I slept with the sharks. My kids were in Girl Scouts when they were younger, and I was a chaperone for an overnight trip to an aquarium in Tennessee, which had a bunch of cool activities for the day, including sleeping in a tunnel with a glass ceiling under the largest tank housing lots of fish, including sharks, thus the name of the program. It was a fun day, although I've outgrown the ability to sleep on a hard floor.
That sounds amazing.
Jose would die. I would do this.
Like, I do want to go in aquariums. I feel it's a good experience, but not for long periods of time. I think, like, my heart could not take it. It just would fail.
How about sleeping under a ceiling with water on? What I would do is wait until people are sleeping. Then I go, like, drip drops of water on their face.
Oh, no.
You would make me, like, I would wake up and, like, start crying.
Or, like have your phone terror. And play the sound of glass cracking.
Oh. Yeah.
Awful.
And speaking of Atlanteans here, Ward Hill Terry says Aqualad was also called Minnow by Aquaman. So I think we've got all the nicknames now. And just a general comment, Isamu Yukinori says, so glad to hear you plan to continue Who's Not into future volumes. Babe is in the next issue, so something for the Hot Squad to look forward to next year. An issue of Who's Who covered every year means I will be in my 40s by the time you finish the first series run. Gosh. I plan to keep listening until then.
Oh, that's nice.
He's a teenager. You know, I'll remind you.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
We'll be grannies.
Once we finish Ohatmu, though, we might be able to start speeding these up.
Sure, yeah. Before we go, we have to mention the Fire and Water Podcast Network patron page at patreon.com/FW podcast. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or a monthly donation. This particular production is sponsored by Gene Hendricks, Monsieur Nick, Mike Dynas, and Eric. Don't forget to leave comments at fireandwaterpodcast.com, and we'll read them in the next episode of Who's Hot and Who's Not in 6 months. So we will. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye. We love you.
A flipper, wow. Okay.
Not flipper, slipper.
Flipper, wow. Okay, I was like, what?
What are you doing, Mike?
He's giving the action.
I'm making Superman shake with pain.
Are we zooming on the hair or the crotch, Mike?
A little bit of both.